Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, please send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. All right, well, before we do get started, I do want to thank everyone who supported our listener support campaign, and we'll probably be saying thank you for at least the next couple of weeks. As I'm recording this, it is actually March the 1st, even though, just because of the way I record ahead. So, you'll probably be hearing me thanking people for several days, but thanks so much. I appreciate everyone's support. And today I especially want to thank Christine, Roberta, and George. Thank you so much for your support. We'll be sending along the appropriate access, extras, and access to our premium site. And you can still support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. It's The Confidential Matter, Parts 1 and 2.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Mort Parkinson, Johnny, Eternity Mutual.
Oh, how are you, Mort?
I couldn't feel much worse.
It's the olives that do it, not the martinis.
I wish it were that simple. Can you come over to my office right away, Johnny?
Well, I guess so, if...
I don't often pull that confidential business, but I really would hesitate to go into this one on the phone.
Pretty rough, huh?
I'm afraid you're going to find it even worse than that. It's about Ed Morgan, Johnny.
Ed Morgan?
I'm sorry. I know he was a good friend of yours.
Well, he's one of the best I ever had. Ed was a great guy. It's too bad he had to die that way.
Johnny, it's too bad he didn't die a year sooner.
What?
You'd better come on over to the office.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the home office, Eternity Mutual Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the confidential matter. Item 1, $2.85. Taxi from my apartment to the Eternity Building in the 7th floor office of Mort Parkinson, Vice President and General Manager. It was a room I well remembered, with its blank walnut paneling and deep leather chairs. I'd worked on a lot of cases with Mort, and with the late Ed Morgan, too. And it sounded now as though Ed, my good friend from a long time back, was about to become a case himself.
Come in, Johnny. Pull up a chair.
Thanks, Mort. Well, that was quite a phone call.
It's quite a situation.
Yeah, I gathered that.
No, I just can't talk sitting down. Old habit, I guess. Remember when we used to be over in the old Johnstone building before we built this new one? We had those old-fashioned stand-up desks. It was when old man Clement was still alive.
And before I was.
Hmm? Oh, yes. I keep forgetting about you newcomers.
Meaning everybody who's come into the game within the last 40 years.
I suppose I am one of the original settlers. I'm set in my ways, too.
Yeah, well, what about
you? I sure hated to see those desks go. You could stand in front of them, lean an elbow on them, make out a report or a speech.
Mort, you're trying too hard to avoid it.
Avoid what?
You didn't call me over here just to reminisce about the old days.
In a way, maybe I did.
You know, it's funny. I always thought you liked Ed Morgan.
But I did.
Then why did you say it's too bad he didn't die a year sooner?
Because I liked him. Except like is too weak a word, actually. I thought as much of Ed as I would have of my own son if I'd had one. Well, I'm the one who hired him in the first place. Remember, Johnny?
Yeah, I remember.
And I took a personal interest in his career. Watched him work his way up. Till finally he was appointed chief adjuster for the West Coast, head of our San Francisco claims office. That was darn good for a man as young as he was. And I was proud of him, Johnny.
Yeah, I know you were.
He was a hard worker, honest, dependable. And he had a good, sound future ahead of him. And then, just like that.
Accidents are usually just like that.
A foggy night, sharp curve, and he drove his car off a cliff into the Pacific Ocean. And that was that. Tragedy. Feeney, the end.
Only it apparently wasn't the end, or you wouldn't have called me over here.
No, it wasn't, Johnny. I wish it had been.
Meaning?
You'd better brace yourself. Within 2 weeks after Ed Morgan's death, we started getting complaints from some of our clients.
What do you mean, complaints?
Oh, demands for adjustment on claims Ed had reported paid weeks before, requests for past due settlements, and so on.
Mort, I don't get it.
Neither did I. So I sent a company accountant out to San Francisco on the QT and put him to work on the claims files. And we found out, Johnny.
You found out what?
That Ed's accounts had been doctored for some time.
What?
Johnny, in the months before he was killed, he'd embezzled nearly $80,000.
Ed Morgan?
Ed Morgan.
I don't believe it.
He did it. Might as well accept the fact.
Anybody else, yes, anybody else. But not Ed. For one thing, money didn't mean that much to him.
I know. We were always joshing him about living like an old hermit instead of a young bachelor.
Well, then why would he do it, steal $80,000 after all these years of being honest? What would he want that would cost that much money?
That's exactly what I wish you'd find out.
Now, wait a second, Mort. Wait a second. This is one I don't want any part of.
Neither do I. But I'm afraid I'm stuck with it. And you are too, in a way.
Why?
Because Ed was your friend. Here's a flight ticket and reservation to San Francisco. Plane leaves in 2 hours.
No. I'd rather pass it, Mort.
Well, so would I. But we can't. Neither of us. There are too many questions left. And they've got to be answered.
Not by me.
$80,000 of the company's money is missing. I can't just write it off and forget it. It has to be accounted for.
There are other investigators, Mort.
And another thing that's just as important, to me at least, is to find out why he did it. It's a failure in human dynamics. A man like Ed, a man everybody respected and trusted, and he goes wrong. Why?
Get somebody else to find out.
I'd be pretty grateful if you'd do it, Johnny.
Mort, I just don't want any part of it.
I know how you feel. It's quite a shock to find out he was a crook. It's like somebody pulling the rug out from under you. So now you want to forget all about him. Leave him safely dead and buried.
Dead, Mort, but not buried. If you remember, they recovered the car, but not his body. It's still somewhere beneath the Pacific.
All right, then. Look at it from an efficiency standpoint, if nothing else. To any other investigator, Ed Morgan would be just a name, an unknown quantity. But you knew him.
I thought I did.
Regardless of what he did, Johnny, I just hate to think of a stranger pawing into his past. Maybe I still think back to the old times in the old country when the family buried their own dead.
I know.
And sometimes, Johnny, a friend has to go all the way. Even when the other person is goofed. Isn't that what the younger generation calls it?
I'm not the younger generation, Mort. Right now I'm older than Confucius.
I'd sure appreciate it, Johnny. And after all, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. And like you said, Ed was my friend. All right, Mort, let's have the ticket. Item 2, $14.35, tips, taxi, and incidentals in Hartford and same in San Francisco. Plane trip between points paid from expense account of company manager and not included herewith. I went straight from the airport to Ed's last address when he was still alive, an apartment house in the Knob Hill section called the Drakely Arms. And there's where I got my first surprise. Ed had always been the two-room bachelor walk-up type. But the Drakely Arms consisted of equal parts of glitter, glass, swank, and price, including a uniformed doorman, a small private bar off the lobby, and an assistant manager with a gardenia on his lapel. Oh, he was a rare one, that manager. And it was a real gardenia.
I am, of course, most desirous of assisting you in every way possible, Mr. What did you say your name was?
Dollar. D-O-L-L.
I can spell dollar.
I'll bet you can.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, it's quite all right.
I didn't mean...
You didn't mean to be offensive, I understand. Now, about the former occupant of Suite 14.
Mr. Dollar, I'm terribly afraid...
Oh, please don't be.
I mean, there is simply very little I can tell you about the late Mr. Morgan.
A matter of discretion? Is that it?
Discretion?
A policy of the house? Something of that sort?
Well, we do, of course, try to protect the privacy of our residents. I'm sure you understand.
Even to the extent of turning down $20?
Well...
A cursed one, isn't it?
Under the circumstances...
Nice likeness of Andrew Jackson, isn't it?
Thank you, sir. Gratuities of this nature are always so helpful in smoothing the rough pathway of human relations. Don't you think so, Mr. Dollar?
Definitely. It's already helping you remember my name.
Well, money is a mental stimulant, isn't it?
Don't call it money. Just think of it as item three.
I beg your pardon. Item...
Oh, that's quite all right.
I meant...
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a habit I seem to be picking up. Now, has your memory been stimulated any in regard to Ed Morgan?
Oh, yes, the late Mr. Morgan. Pardon me, Mr. Dollar. Yes? Oh, yes, Countess Margie. Yes, I'll be delighted to send the boy up for 2 quarts of suds.
Suds?
Would a nice dry Bavarian ale be... Yes, Countess, just plain beer. Yes, Countess, right away. Frightful old lady. Mixes it with creme de menthe, you know. Now, where were we, Mr. Dollar?
We weren't, not yet.
Oh, yes, the late Mr. Morgan. Well, he'd been our guest, you understand, for about 6 months at the time of his tragic accident.
What was he paying for his suite of rooms?
Oh, well, ordinarily, we don't release information of
that. Forget it. This is not ordinary. How much?
$1,200 a month.
I see.
Oh, he was a true gentleman, if I may say so. A bon vivant. And on the crassly materialistic side, if you'll forgive me, sir, a very free spender.
Sorry, 20's the limit.
Mr. Dollar, I was not trying to coerce your generosity by, well...
Putting on another bite?
Precisely.
All right. So Ed was bedded down in a Ming Line stall and was throwing money around like water. What else? Who came to see him? What sort of visitors did he have?
Well, none at all that I can recall.
None at all? He leased that overpriced cubicle and then just sat in it?
Well...
What about friends here in the building?
Well, most of our guests might be termed individually exclusive. Even eccentric in some cases. Except, of course, Mrs. Barrett.
Mrs. Barrett?
Yes. One of the loveliest guests we've ever had the pleasure of... Excuse me, Mr. Dollar. Yes. Yes, Countess Margie, the boy is on his way. I know, but he has to go clear down to the corner. Yeah. Well, please tell little Pim Pam that I'm so sorry. A dog drinks that stuff, too. Now, where were we?
About this Mrs. Barrett you mentioned.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, she and Mr. Morgan were inseparable, you understand. They were together constantly.
And Mr. Barrett?
Oh, there wasn't any. Well, not recently, I mean. Deceased. You know, dead.
Yeah, when?
Early this year, as I recall. I didn't know him, of course. Mrs. Barrett moved in here shortly after his death. Not until then.
And Ed Morgan, when did he move in?
About 6 weeks later.
Oh, he met her here then?
Oh, no. No, they were already acquainted. Well acquainted.
I see.
In fact, I believe that Mr. Morgan and the young and very lovely widow met at the time of her husband's death, a matter of settling the estate or something of that sort.
It would figure all right.
I don't remember exactly why I thought so, but I do recall having an impression at the time that he moved in here only because of her. And as I say, they were together constantly right from the first.
That's all very interesting. I wonder if I could have a talk with this Mrs. Barrett.
That would be utterly impossible, I'm afraid.
Now look, if you think you can pry...
I simply mean she isn't here.
Isn't here?
She's been gone for 10 days now.
Where'd she go?
I really haven't the slightest idea, Mr. Dollar.
Well, if she moved out, she must have left a forwarding address of some kind.
Oh, she didn't move out. She still has her apartment here. She'll be back eventually, I imagine.
But at the moment,
I haven't heard a word from her since she left. Oh, poor dear. You know, one can understand why she'd want to get away for a while. Such a tragic coincidence, having two deaths of exactly the same... Oh, confound that woman.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by tragic coincidence?
Oh... Well, as I understand it, Mrs. Barrett's husband also died in some sort of accident. Yes, Countess.
Johnny Dollar.
Mac Woodson, Mr. Dollar. The girl from the claims office called and gave me this number.
Oh, yes, Mr. Woodson. It seems we're working on the same case for the same company.
Well, I've been working on Mr. Ed Morgan's files and records here for the past week now. I've turned up some...
How much is missing?
Well, about $80,000 so far. All of it was taken during the 4 months immediately preceding his death. I'll say one thing. In 20 years as an accountant, I've never seen a looting more cleverly carried out.
Oh, Ed was a very bright lad. A man who'd go far, they all said.
Did you know him, Mr. Dollar?
I thought I did. He was one of my best friends. But it turns out I'm only beginning to know him. Could you meet me in his office around 10 o'clock, Mr. Woodson?
Yes, that's where I am now. I've been working on these books day and night.
Better be careful. That's what got Ed into trouble.
How's that?
From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Eternity Mutual Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the confidential matter. Location, San Francisco. Expense account continued. Item 4, $1, one martini. Item 5, $1, one tip to the bartender who stirred the martini. All in the house that Jack built. I don't know who built it, actually, but it took Jack to live in it. $1,200 a month, to be exact. That was the take-home bite for an apartment at the Drakeley Arms on Nob Hill. And, of course, that didn't include drinks in the intimate little private bar just off the lobby. And this is where Ed Morgan had lived during the last 5 months of his life, until he missed a curve one night and drove his car off a cliff into the Pacific. Ed Morgan, whose idea of a big night had always been his pipe, slippers, and a mystery novel. But things were different when I'd known him and been his friend. For one thing, he hadn't stolen $80,000. Or I don't think he had.
Do you find the martini adequate to your expectations, sir?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, indeed. It's a heck of a belt for a buck.
Thank you, sir.
Quite a nice little place you got here.
Oh, I find it a most agreeable sanctuary from the stress and strife and the hurly-burly of the city.
Been here long?
I have tended bar here in the Drakeley Arms Rendezvous for some 2 years now.
Oh, well, then you may have known a friend of mine who had an apartment here up until a month ago. A Mr. Edward Morgan?
Oh, yes. Mr. Morgan was a regular customer here. An eager supplicant for my humble and healing wares.
A beer drinker, mostly, as I recall.
The Rendezvous does not serve beer, sir.
Oh, forgive me. I didn't know.
Quite all right, sir. Yes, I was here before Mr. Morgan moved in. Here I am still, now that he is no longer with us. Such is the chance and mystery of life.
One just never knows.
Precisely. Oh, could I serve you?
Not yet, thanks. Get to know Ed pretty well, did you?
The policy of the Drakeley Arms, sir, is to maintain a certain degree of formality in relations between guests and personnel.
Sort of like a zoo, you might say, with bars to separate the people from the animals.
The comparison is quite apt.
Somehow, I can't see Ed Morgan sacking in a marble squirrel cage like this joint.
I confess, he hardly seemed the type to me, sir. He was much too unrestrained for the Drakeley.
He came in here a lot, did he?
Almost nightly. For a few minutes, at least, on his way to some gala night spot.
Gala night spot, Ed Morgan?
Oh, yes.
In all the years I knew Ed, I was only able to drag him into a gala night spot once. He stayed 20 minutes, then left because his tie was choking.
Are you quite certain that your friend was the same, Ed Morgan?
I wish I weren't. Who were his friends? Did he always come in alone?
Oh, no. No, never alone, sir. He and Nikki were inseparable.
Nikki?
Oh, I should say, of course, Mrs. Barrett.
Oh, a young widow, as I remember. Lives here in the building.
A lovely girl. Fascinating.
And also unrestrained?
Definitely.
And Ed, then, was one of her friends.
Oh, they were together every night, sir. An hour here in our little establishment, a few champagne cocktails, then out to dinner, dancing, the opera, ballet.
Ed Morgan?
Oh, quite. Life was just a mad whirl for those two. I gather your friend was something of a wealthy playboy.
He was a claims adjuster for an insurance company.
Then how could he possibly live in the fashion he did?
If I told you, you'd flip.
I beg your pardon?
Tell me something. Was Ed in here on the night he was killed?
Oh, yes. He left here about 9, as I recall. And a few hours later, he was dead.
How did this Nikki take it? Pretty broken up, was she?
She is a woman of very strong character.
Oh, in other words, she didn't bat an eye.
Well, I wouldn't...
That night Ed was killed, did he leave here alone?
No, sir.
He was alone when he went off the cliff.
Not when he left here, though. Nikki was with him.
Item 6, $2.40, taxi to the Telegraph Hill apartment of Lisa Duval. Lisa had been Ed Morgan's secretary for about 4 years. But it seemed Miss Mousy Business at the office was Miss North Beach Bohemia at home. Italian slacks and halter, cushions on the floor, and naturally a view of the Bay Bridge from a corner window. We sat on the floor, naturally, and drank Chianti from a half-gallon jug, while a record player moaned agonizedly under the gouging of its needle. Bartok, I gathered, was now last year's kick. This was progressive jazz.
Maybe it seems a little affected to you, Mr. Dollar. The way I dress and live in private life, as you might say.
Why so? Everybody's got a right to salt his own dish of porridge the way he likes it.
Well, I've done this deliberately, I guess, as a sort of antidote for the insurance business.
Oh, has it been that bad?
Not bad. Boring. Oh, not your end of it, of course. Investigation work must be exciting.
Yeah, scream a minute, day and night.
But just keeping records, filing papers week after week. I used to stare out of the office window at the ships in the harbor and think about stowing away on one. But of course, I didn't have the nerve.
Too bad. The cruise would have been delirious.
I thought of quitting several times. I guess I stayed because of Ed, Mr. Morgan.
Oh?
He was always so wonderful to work for. So lenient and understanding. Up until the last few months, at least.
What about those last few months, Lisa? What came over him?
I don't know. He was different, that's all. As though he were tense and nervous, under pressure.
Any idea where the pressures came from?
He didn't confide in me, Mr. Dollar.
What were your personal relations between the two of you during the years you worked for him?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, were you friendly, formal, strictly business?
Friendly, I think, would cover it best.
Did you see each other outside of office hours?
Occasionally.
I notice one of his pipes there in the bookcase.
He'd come here sometimes in the evening, and we'd listen to music and talk. Up until the...
Until the last few months?
It wasn't that we stopped being friends, Mr. Dollar. He was just different, that's all.
Tense, under pressure.
That's about the only way I can describe it.
But you don't know why he was that way.
Well, looking back, I suppose it was because of the money. If he really did take it. I just can't believe it. Ed wasn't that kind of a man. He was gentle and honest, at least until...
Until the last few months.
Yes.
Or were you going to say, until she came along?
How did you...
Lisa.
Yes.
How long have you been in love with Ed?
Ever since I started to work for him. But he never knew it. He couldn't even see me.
I'm sorry, Lisa.
I'm sorry for you too, Mr. Dollar. I know how close you and Ed were, and I know how you must feel being called in and having...
Forget it. It's a job, that's all.
Sure, just a job. So is major surgery.
This woman he was going around with, Nikki Barrett, did you ever meet her?
I met her.
What did you think?
What's the difference? I was prejudiced.
I'll allow for that.
In the old days, they used to believe in witches, vampires. Some of them were very beautiful, and they'd lure a man on and on, and then destroy him.
And you think she did something like that to Ed?
No, you weren't out this way during the time he knew her. You weren't around him to see how he'd changed.
No, no. Oddly enough, the one time I was through here about 3 months ago, Ed was unexpectedly called away on business.
He wasn't called away. He was avoiding you. He knew he was getting in too deep.
How'd he meet her?
She came to the office with a life insurance claim. $50,000. Her husband had just died. I knew her type from the minute she walked in. A grieving widow, all in black, and looking like a Powers model. And he just melted down and laid his head under her foot. That was the start of it.
Why'd she come to him? Unless she had a disputed claim.
It was a double indemnity clause. Her husband had been killed in an accident.
Her husband too, huh?
What do you mean?
Ed Morgan died in an accident. Remember? Item 7, $1.15, taxi from Lisa's apartment to the Deckman building on Montgomery Street. It was after 10 and the financial district was nearly deserted. The canyons between the tall buildings were hollow and empty. A cold wind was blowing off the bay. Or maybe it was blowing out of the past. An old, old past, dead and far away. The pattern was beginning to look familiar. Too familiar. Lord, the woman gave me the forbidden apple to eat. Ed, too, it seemed. The same old wine, the same old dodge. And yet there was something not quite right about that pattern.
McCartan runs into some funny ones, Mr. Dollar. This Morgan case here is one of them.
How do you mean, Mr. Woodson?
Well, the way he was going about it, for one thing. Running hog wild, as you might say. Of course, as I said on the phone, his general scheme was pretty clever. He certainly knew standard procedures.
Well, he'd been with the company a long time.
Well, now, these payoff checks on claims. Of course, they were sent out from Hartford in care of this office. So what Morgan did was open a disbursement account in the bank here, then sign and deposit the checks and draw out the money in cash chargeable to direct disbursement funds under his own name.
Mr. Woodson.
Now, of course, the canceled checks would return to Hartford, but since they were countersigned to disbursement, they wouldn't even be processed. Instead, they'd be returned to Morgan. So, you see, there'd be no evidence
in
Hartford.
Mr. Woodson, I'll accept the fact that Ed was clever. But what did you mean there was something funny in the way he was going about it?
Well, he must have known it couldn't last. It was a good scheme for a short time, but it carried the seeds of its own destruction.
In what way?
Complaints. Some of these claims are 4 months old and legitimate claims. Morgan couldn't stall these people off forever.
Oh, I see.
Only other embezzlement case I've worked on that was similar was a man who worked a quick swindle for a blackmail payoff. He knew he'd probably get caught, but he just had to take the chance.
Yeah, you may have stumbled onto something, Mr. Woodson.
Oh, is that so? You mean it ties in with that file folder you've been studying there?
Oh, I don't know. It's an investigation report on an accidental death happened about a year ago. Ed Morgan handled the insurance claim and got to know the widow. He'd been running around with her for several months just before his death.
Well, quite see the... Oh, of course. Mr. Morgan also died in an accident.
Unless he was murdered.
Now, here is our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, $80,000 and a beautiful girl, both missing. Then one of the two is found and a bombshell explodes. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Hugh Grundig speaking.
Welcome back. You know, I think they really did a great job in the first episode of drawing out the emotional angle of this. This is one of those radio plays that is based on a previous play, but I don't think that that they really did it as well in the original as they do in this five-parter. In this case, they used the time to good effect to really just bring home how devastating and how earth-shattering this whole thing was to Johnny. And I definitely felt for Johnny through this because it is, it's just an incredibly difficult situation when you find out somebody is the opposite of what you thought they were. And I think that they really just took the time to help us to feel that. So I enjoyed the episode and their approach, and we will certainly find out more as things go on. But now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and William emails regarding the Cranesburg matter. He says the part where Johnny catches a girl trying to place a gun in an incinerator sounds familiar. Has this been adapted from a previous story, or at least taken elements from a previous story? I thought I had mentioned when we did the Cranesburg matter that the this was based on the Beauregard matter from January 26, 1954. But I, you know, could have intended to and forgotten, but yes, that was based on the, Beauregard matter. And we have just another, comment from George, who says, thanks so much for the great shows. Well, thanks so much, and I do appreciate you supporting the series. And then we have a comment from Jay who says, regarding the Cranesburg matter, thanks, Adam. Keep them coming, from Jay in Bend, Oregon. Well, thanks so much. And then I received a tweet. Brandon tweets in, first of all, he says, I'd love to hear I Was a Communist for the FBI. Well, not a true detective show. It's still a fun listen. Also, thank you for the Yours Truly Johnny Dollar podcast. Such a great show, and one I can listen to without worry that my kids will hear something bad. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate your comments, Brandon. Regarding I Was a Communist for the FBI, I definitely agree that's an interesting series. Before I got into doing the war, I was listening my way through I Was a Communist for the FBI, but most of the time that I had for leisure listening to programs has kind of been replaced by listening to shows that we'll end up doing on the war. But I was about halfway through, and I'll resume probably sometime in August or September. But I found it a fascinating series and just an interesting psychological case study, because as you listen to it, it's clear, I think, that for Matt Savetic, who's the main character, you know, he is constantly in fear of being captured. And he's surrounded by, you know, with all of these, you know, various comrades, some very emotionally bad people to be around. And it's just such in... it's just such an interesting combination, and really interesting, even beyond the espionage part, just to hear how he goes through this and how much he's just constantly afraid of being caught, that they're going to realize, and then it is really going to be curtains for him. And it's a very difficult situation, very interesting to watch, and great drama. So I agree with you, and I don't know, maybe someday we'll do it on another podcast. All right, well, that will do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with the Casebook of Gregory Hood, and join us on Wednesday as we continue on with the confidential matter. And a reminder, coming up Saturday, we introduce you to Police Blotter. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.